activist has wandered aimlessly into the studio as well. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Lindy.
What did you make of this?
Well, I think it was incredible. I mean, I was amazed that Brendan Nelson pulled it on. I thought it was pretty obvious that Malcolm would win. I was surprised it was so close. Malcolm's timing throughout his career has just been amazing. I mean, he launched himself with the spy catcher. He was the number one investment banker in the media sector at the time of the whole media deregulation. So he was selling Fairfax and he was selling Channel 10. He was just the number one swashbuckling investment banker. He then rode the dot-com bubble and made his first fortune selling out of Aussie Mail at the absolute peak of the boom to WorldCom. And, of course, WorldCom then collapsed a year later and Malcolm ran off with his $60 million. And he's very keen to point out that he wrote out a cheque for $23 million in capital gains tax. So, you know, he contributed his wealth.
No,
to the,
Paul Hogan is he.
That's right, to the country. And then, of course, he was appointed managing director of Goldman Sachs just as it was floating on the market. He walked away with $30-40 million there. And, like, who'd want to be the managing director of Goldman Sachs now when investment banks around the world are collapsing? And Malcolm's moved on. Goldman's can sort out their own issues. And now he's the putative next prime minister and the Liberal Party needs him. So his timing's very, very good.
Is that just because of luck? Or does he just read things really well?
Oh, I think it's luck, but you make your own luck. I mean, he's an incredibly charismatic guy. I mean, I've had a few run-ins with him.
You've had run-ins with everyone.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he'll ring up and you have lunch with him and you're his best mate, and then he'll give you some stuff, and then he'll ring up and abuse you for something you've published about him, I never thought he could keep his ego in check. I mean, I've copped the bollockings like a lot of people have, and he was the investment banker who sued journalists and always sat in meetings threatening to sue people. He was just too obnoxious and aggressive. How he could then turn that around into cajoling a backbench of sensitive egos. So I wasn't surprised when he Brendan beat him the first time. But tour de force Malcolm, it's a bit like John McCain. The Republicans were left with no one else. Costello vacated the field, Nelson's unelectable. It has to be Malcolm Turnbull, the former business partner of Nick Whitlam and Neville Ram.
I mean, that's right.
The Liberals have gone from a former member of the Labor Party to a former business partner of Whitlam and Ram. I mean, they don't really produce their own, do they?
They don't.
No, well, maybe they should have hung on to Alexander Downer, who was probably the only true blue-blood third-generation Liberal they had.
And Peter Costello makes the point about his long history in the Liberal Party as well, and I think he resents, both Brendan and Malcolm sort of being the Johnny-come-latelys who opportunistically had to decide which side they were on when pursuing their political career.
But that's the trend now. It is that. It's that we saw that in New South Wales with Nathan Rees coming to the fore. I think in Tasmania the same sort of things happened where people are just now, they don't necessarily have to have been within Parliament for a long period of time. They may need to have come through the system in some way, but you don't have to have done the hard yards quite as much as you had to before. Talking about the economy in a moment too, Stephen, because the timing's very interesting for all sorts of reasons, and we'll get some details and actually hear from Malcolm Turnbull about what he had to say about what he might do with the economy in just a moment. But a couple of other things that are making news today, apart from what's happening in federal politics. Another Melbourne man has been convicted of being a member of a terrorist cell. Amir Hadara of Yarraville has been found guilty of being a member of a terrorist organisation, but not guilty of possessing a computer in connection with preparing a terrorist act. And the jury were unable to reach a verdict in the case of his co-accused 31-year-old Shane Kent of Meadow Heights. And Federal Treasurer Wayne Swan has warned newly elected opposition leader Malcolm Turnbull against vandalising the budget surplus in the face of increasing global economic turmoil. The Treasurer made the warning to Mr Turnbull as he led the coalition in Parliament for the first time today. The weather tonight, a few showers clearing and then fine and mostly sunny tomorrow, 6 tonight and a top of 18. Mary Jane.
Lindy, there has been a nasty crash on Plenty Road in Mill Park, and that's just outside the police station there. And I should have some more info for you on that one in the next update. And also to beware, there is a burst water main on High Street in Mount Waverley, and that's just past Huntingdale Road. One lane either way has been closed, and Vic Rose have said that this will be going on until around 7 p.m. tonight. So if you're heading away from the city, there will be delays. The freeways are all looking good. However, the Monash is heavy from Warragul Road to Jackson's Road. It will take you 32 2 minutes from King's Way. And the train cancellations, the 459 Hurstbridge line from McLeod to the city has been cancelled. And you can call me direct with your traffic updates on 9626 1767 or text 19774 774. It's 13 minutes to 5.
Mary Jane, thank you very much. And with me, Dennis Altman from La Trobe University and Stephen Main, shareholder activist. And just on the back of what Wayne Swan had to say in Parliament earlier today, fellas, it was interesting at the media conference that was held in Canberra after the announcement was made. One of the journalists there said, on economic management grounds, this is to Malcolm Turnbull, will you continue to block budget measures in the Senate or will you review that position? This is what he had to say.
Let me tell you this. We are presently facing probably the gravest economic crisis globally in any of our lifetimes. I don't know how many of you saw what happened on Wall Street last night, but it was down 4.7%, depending on the index. A massive collapse. We are seeing a collapse in global confidence. And all year, from the very beginning of my time as Shadow Treasurer, I have said to the government that their role is to lead. What Australia needs is real leadership. It needs strong leadership. It needs leaders that say, this country is strong, it can do anything. But we need confidence. We are suffering from a global collapse in confidence, and instead of having a government which talked up Australia, which spoke of our strengths, which spoke passionately about what we can do and why we are different, we've had a government all year that's talked this country down. Never forget, we should never forget that as the subprime crisis started to hit and a credit squeeze in Australia was becoming inevitable, Wayne Swan went out there and said, the day before the Reserve Bank met, the inflation genie is out of the bottle. He begged Glenn Stevens to put up rates. He egged the Reserve Bank to put up rates. He created an environment where the government of the day, and this is unique in the history of our country or indeed in any country, where the government of the day exacerbated inflationary expectations. We have had a total failure of economic leadership in this country. Now, the reality is that leaders have to play the cards they're dealt. The subprime crisis developed in circumstances in the United States, and we have to deal with it. But in government, we dealt with many crises successfully. What Wayne Swan has done and Kevin Rudd has done is failed Australia. They've failed Australia by showing no leadership. And what we will provide is real leadership.
The word go. Does he have any decent points there, Stephen? Does he actually make a good point?
I don't think he does, no. I mean, you can't say they've failed on any objective grounds. I don't think they egged and begged the interest rate increase. I mean, it suited the Labor political narrative that interest rates went up and that inflation was high, but inflation was high. And inflation was, you know, the genie was out of the bottle. I don't think Malcolm can simultaneously attack Wayne Swan for overcooking inflation and then say this is the greatest crisis ever when the Reserve Bank is privately briefing politicians and journalists at the moment to try and restore confidence and keep things calm. So, you know, but he's just making the point. Economic management will be his strong point. He is the former managing director of Goldman Sachs. You know, Wayne Swan's a former party apparatchik. You know, Malcolm's going to say, I'm better placed to do this job. And but objectively so far, you know.
But is that something that you, I know that you're, maybe I should ask Dennis this, as a political commentator, Dennis, is that something that would appeal to the electorate?
I suspect at this stage to have been a merchant banker isn't actually a very good card to play, given we're watching very established banks collapse.
Well, I think he was a managing director of Goldman Sachs for 2 or 3 years. Journalist, lawyer. If he was the former 15-year managing director of Macquarie Bank who'd made $200 million creating all these complex financial derivatives that had caused the crisis, I think then you'd have a stronger argument. But I think in the case of his career, I don't think there's a lot of direct culpability for current financial crisis and Malcolm's role. And I think people want
I'm not blaming him, Stephen, but you know, he's running this line that I'm really an average guy. I grew up in poverty. I know what it's like. But simultaneously, I'm the financial expert because I was a leading banker. It's a bit difficult, I think, for the average person who, after all, is not going to be interested in the details, to keep those two stories in their head and believe both of them at once.
That's probably right, but I do think that his economic credibility will be his strongest point. And economic management is that, I mean, the Republicans are gone on economic management. The Democrats are stronger. So Obama is delighted to have this crisis, just as Turnbull is delighted to have the crisis, because he knows that his strongest point will be economic management, courtesy of Peter Costello's legacy. And I think if the more the crisis evolves, if we have, you know, things like unemployment rocketing, lots of job losses, if things are bad, that will play very well for Malcolm Turnbull. And he'll say, I'm the business guy, I can balance the books, these union officials running the country have no idea, hand it over to me. And that will be his pitch.
I can say, let's just quickly then look at what the big issues are going to be now, and whether or not Kevin Rudd and his team are going to be more fearful. Are they going to be more fearful having Malcolm Turnbull in that role compared to Brendan Nelson?
Yes, but I think primarily because if the Liberal Party doesn't seem divided, it obviously makes them a stronger opposition. And I think in the short run, the Liberals are going to have to unite behind Turnbull in a way they didn't unite behind Nelson. I also agree with Stephen. I think the reality is that any government is in trouble when the economy is in trouble. And it doesn't really matter objectively whether Turnbull has the credentials or not. The reality is if unemployment goes up, if inflation goes up, if people feel their savings are at risk, of course they're going to be less attracted to the current government, whatever it is actually doing.
I think they'll unite behind him, definitely, but then it's the Latham X factor. It's will the combustible personality, will the volcano explode at any point? Can Malcolm manage his personality, his temperament and his ego in a climate where he's herding cats on his backbench and he's got to deal with the climate change sceptics who are going to want to try and drag him back into the Neanderthal era? Managing those types of things will be his big challenge. And
You mentioned climate change. I mean, it seems to me that they are going to be the two big issues over the next 12 months to 2 years, leading into the next election, the economy and climate change. And, of course, they are interwoven with each other because the fear that bringing in emissions trading schemes is going, the effect that's going to have on the economy and how all of that works. I mean, how does he walk that line as a man who has indicated that he is not a climate change sceptic, he believes that there needs to be an emissions scheme. He outlined today saying that the Rudd government's going at this too soon, that we need to take a good, careful approach to it. But how does he walk that line when he's made previous comments in the past?
I think he'll probably be okay because I think Garnaut has wound back the expectations quite significantly that the scheme will only be launched in 2010. There won't be any sort of obvious signs of devastation or big job losses in the economy by the time of the next election. I think he was very smart today to put the issue totally back on the government. I mean, why the Liberals have been having a massive internal debate about their climate change position without knowing what the government is presenting was crazy. And Malcolm, I think, was smart to do that. And, he'll go and, you know, they're going to damage the economy line, but I think you'll find that Rudd will end up being reasonably conservative. And I think he can navigate it through quite well.
Did you feel sorry at all for Brendan Nelson today?
No, not really. I just think he's been incompetent. We should throw out the New South Wales government early. Constitutionally, you can't do it. We should put up a private member's bill to increase the pension. Constitutionally, you can't do it. Tried to roll Malcolm on climate change policy, got rolled himself, generated all this negative publicity. I just think he's been incompetent. Nice guy, wasn't a bad minister, but wrong man for the job, and they've moved on as they should have.
Lindy's looking at me. My answer is no. I don't. I think that the reality is if people put themselves in these positions, they have to cop it. And I'm not going to spend much time feeling sorry for a politician who, I mean, everything Stephen says is correct. Nelson blew it. He had the opportunity. I don't know what his future is. And again, let's face it, his future, whatever it is, will be fairly well funded, probably by the taxpayer. So again, let's not worry too much about that.
Okay, we'll see what pans out. Thank you so much, Stephen. I'll let you go. I'm going to hog-tie Dennis to the chair and get him to hang around for the next hour or so, and we'll see you very soon. Of course, some things are going on in Wall Street at the moment too, are they not? And how that will pan out in a week's time, I'm only fearful about. Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist. Dennis Altman, sticking with me and you in the next hour. 4 to 5, to the markets themselves. Belinda Bowman, good afternoon.